What's a new year? Again, Happy New Year. We finished, and we really spent all of December talking about Simeon and Anna. We had Advent with Simeon and Anna. And one of the things that stood out for me with both of them is that they not only were they super familiar with the scriptures and ready to see God work in human lives, but when they saw it, they recognized it, and they gave God glory, and they spoke out, and they told the story. We read about Anna, that she recognized the moment between Simeon and the Holy Family, and she went and made known what God was doing. At the candlelight service, and then again last Sunday, we also were reminded of the shepherds to whom the angel and then the angel choir came with good news of great joy for all the people, and they went to see what was happening in Bethlehem, and then they went and told the story of what was going on, what God was doing among the people. So all of that is example and feeds into what we're doing with this My Story, My Song. Today we're keying off the verse 2 that says, "Let the redeemed say so." If you and I are numbered among those whom God has saved, if we are people of faith, if trusted in Christ, we are among the redeemed. And this psalm encourages us to do just what Simeon and Anna and the shepherds and Mary did, which is tell the story. And it's unique to each of you. It's your story and where that intersects with God's story of what God's doing in the world. God works with each of you, meets you in different ways, and you may not have considered what that might be. You might hear these stories about disciples and Bible characters, and it's all so big and glorious, and Jesus is being born in a stable and all that. But God also shows up, there as you're writing the report, or there as you're making dinner for your kids, or out running errands. I think God even shows up in places like the DMV, as hard as that may be to imagine. One of the things that's so special about Psalm 107 is it starts with this great declaration about God, but then it moves through examples. In other words, it's saying God, and we're going to look at this in a minute, God's great, but here's how you can know it. Remember when God did this, or God showed up in this situation, and the kind of the categories as you go through each section of Psalm 107, you see just what a wide range of human circumstances God shows up in. And my hope is, you probably won't connect with everyone every week, but we'll get to one where you say, oh yeah, God was with me when this was going on. And I'm reminded by these scriptures where it talks about God being involved with his people who are suffering, or his people who are doing business, or his people who are fighting an enemy or a struggle, that sort of thing. So each week's kind of a different look at where God shows up among in our lives and that kind of thing. But today we're going to get started, just as I said, with this kind of prelude to all of that, and look at the first three verses. And we're going to start with verse 1, which really, before you get to how do I know and how do I experience what God's like, this is the scripture just saying this is what God is like. And of course, the next question is, well, how can I know that? And that's what we'll look at. But it starts with God is good, right? Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and God's loving kindness is forever. We have that word loving kindness. We talked about this last summer quite a bit. It's the Hebrew word hesed. And it's so rich, we kind of struggle to translate it into English. Our translation likes loving kindness. Sometimes you'll see faithfulness or compassion or steadfast love, but it's kind of all that rolled together. It's God's love and compassion and faithfulness to be that way over time. And so the psalmist is starting just with the declaration, God is good, and God is merciful, is compassionate, is faithful. His loving kindness is forever, is everlasting. So I put two reflection questions on the screen. First of the year is a great time to reflect. Two reflection questions. How has God been good to you? If the psalmist is right, and we believe he is, it's in God's word, God is good, give thanks for that. How have you experienced that? This is how you put together a testimony, a story. You read what's true in Scripture, and you ponder in your life, have I experienced God in this way? So how has God been good to you. It's easy to dwell on the negative, right? On places we've struggled or fallen short or things we need or lack or want. And it's absolutely right to bring those to God and ask for help. But I believe God is good and is good to us. And it's helpful, it's encouraging to take a moment and try to remember and give thanks, right? How has God been good to me, to you? And then secondly, how have you experienced God's loving kindness, that hesed, that compassion and faithfulness? Surely in a year like we've just come through, we've experienced it all, right? Highs and lows, struggle as well as God's mercy, God's compassion, God's goodness. So this psalm, right off the bat, invites us to reflect, is this true? That God is good and that his loving kindness is everlasting. If it is, let's give thanks for that. And I would say even a step beyond that, let's take a moment, maybe this afternoon, maybe this week, to reflect on those questions. How has God been good? How has God been hesed, faithful, merciful to you? And that's part of your story. That's what we're going to be encouraging all of us to look at over the next few weeks. Verse 2 goes on to say this, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Those whom he's redeemed from the hand of the adversary. So I want to start by saying, who are the redeemed? I said at the beginning of the service, or maybe the beginning of the sermon, you are the redeemed. But let's talk about that. Who are the redeemed? In this psalm, realize there was no New Testament yet when it was written. There was no Jesus yet. When it was written, there was a hope for a Messiah, but no Jesus, no New Testament yet. What did it mean to be redeemed? This psalm was likely written for and to God's people after they had returned from the exile. That was that time when they had traveled, wandered, been good, been bad. Finally, God had brought them to the promised land, had established a king and a kingdom under David and the subsequent kings, and then they blew it. They were disobedient, they turned from God, they worshiped other gods, and they lost it all and went into exile in Babylon. And God eventually, after generations, brought them back home. And that is what this is celebrating. God has redeemed us from the hand of the adversary, the Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Persians, and brought us home. And that's just when this was written in time. This is likely what they were celebrating in this psalm. We finally made it home. God has redeemed us. Now that is a picture of us for spiritual redemption, right? But it's the first level of it. It was a literal in time and history. My people were lost and now they've been brought home. I was trying to think of an illustration for that, and I thought of luggage, like when you travel. Because if you read, there's tons written to the exiles where God would say, I haven't forgotten you. Yeah, you're far from home, right? You're lost, but you're not lost to me. I see you. I know right where you are, and I'm going to bring you back. So it's not like God had lost them. I was thinking about luggage, and again, the disclaimer, no analogy is perfect. But when you travel, bless you if you've never been separated from your luggage, but eventually it will probably happen. But think about it. Your luggage is yours, even when it's lost, most likely, unless you made the grave mistake of not doing so, your name is on it, right? They make you fill out those luggage tags anytime you check luggage. So it's lost, it's far away, right? But it's yours, your name is tied to it, stamped to it, and in many cases, eventually, the airlines will recover it. It used to be you had to go claim it, right? And literally, the word that's sometimes used is redeem your luggage. Show them, I have the ticket, I checked it, it's mine, I'm going to take it home, right? That's a little bit of an everyday picture of this. God had never lost Israel, and literally, his name was written on them. That's what circumcision was about. That was the covenant with Abraham, is you are my people, right? You carry my name wherever you go. You're far from home right now, but I haven't lost you. I'm going to reclaim you. I'm going to redeem you. And even where you are there in exile, my name is right there on you, so people will know you're mine. And again, all that was a time and place in history, literal redemption that the psalm is probably written about, but we can't help but see the parallels to spiritual redemption, right? Where we also have an adversary. That's literally what Satan means, is adversary. Though, you know, with the original sin in the garden, with the fall from the Garden of Eden, we're separated from God. God never said, no, well, they're not mine anymore. God stamped his image on us. That's part of the creation story. He called it very good. And the image of God, we're bearers of the image of God. That's far more permanent than a luggage tag or even the signs of the covenant. We belong to God. So even though we've sinned and been separated from God, we're not lost to God. And so through Christ, this same kind of restoration, and that's why the word is used, redemption. In the Old Testament, redeem means bring Israel back home where they belong. In the New Testament, redeem means bring all people through Christ back home into God's presence where they belong. That's where God created them to be. So if you've trusted in Christ, you have been redeemed. You are the redeemed. And this says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. That is, say that you are. Tell the story. God's redeemed me. I was at one time separated from God or far from God, but I've come to trust in him, and I am among the redeemed. God's brought me home. That's the story. And then verse 3 really just kind of explains just how big that is, right? The breadth of that redemption. So God, this is true of Israel, again on the earthly level, but then it's also going to be true on the spiritual level. Israel had been scattered. They were supposed to be in the promised land, centered in Jerusalem, worshiping at the temple. And when they went into exile, they were scattered abroad. And that redemption was collecting them from every direction, north, south, east, and west, bringing them back home to Jerusalem, to the Holy Land. In the same way, when you get to the New Testament, the spiritual redemption, especially as you get into Paul and his missionary journeys, the salvation is now for all people. I mean, it always has been, going back to Abraham, back to Adam. But the New Testament makes explicit that from north, south, east, and west, Gentiles and Jews, God is inviting all to come to him. So again, it works on both levels, that the redemption is literal for Israel, it's true for all of us spiritually, and it's broad, it's big, it's every direction. And their whole letters in the New Testament, Ephesians, Romans, who focus on the fact that you can't be too far for God to be able to bring you home. And there is no sin or separation too great that God cannot redeem you and restore you and bring you home. So that too is part of our story, right? Some of you like me have very tame stories. If I grew up in the church and my parents told me about God, but I did come to a point of personally putting my trust in God. Other folks have a story like the prodigal of being far from home and God grabbed your attention in some way and you have experienced that coming home from a far place away. All of that is good and true and an example of God's goodness and God's faithfulness. So where we're headed from here is this say-so part, right? I'm not, I joked about twisting your arm. I'm not going to twist anybody's arm, but it is a privilege, right? If something this good has happened to you, to make it known. And I'm not talking about us going out in the middle of Ray Road with a bullhorn and, you know, shouting at cars going by. I'm really talking about starting among ourselves. Just because I think it will be so encouraging, particularly in times that are so discouraging, right, to hear from each other, this is where God has shown up for me. Right? And it doesn't always have to be that origin story of this is how I first came to faith, but this is how God showed up for me in the middle of COVID. In 2021, this is how God showed up for me when I lost my job. This is how God showed up for me when I was struggling with cancer. This is how God showed up for me when I lost a loved one. All those stories, I want to invite you to tell just short parts of your story to each other. So I'm excited to hear. I hope you'll volunteer to do that. If you feel like you need a little help kind of collecting those thoughts and tooling up for it. Again, one of our Sunday school classes in January is just going to work on how to do that. And you don't have to share, but it'll give you some tools to think about. Again, the questions, how has God been good to you? And how have you experienced God's chesed, God's compassion, God's loving kindness? And I'm excited to hear these stories. I'll probably share some of mine along the way. But that's one of the ways You know, we don't just read and gather facts, but we experience God through each other and each other's stories. And I think this will be an encouraging time. So I encourage you to say so.